The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
There is a narrative going around right now from the left that Trump's deportations have somehow become unpopular, and we recently got some pretty shocking new data on how false that is. Democrats are responding to the new data on how popular the deportations have been by openly calling for violence on ICE agents. Here is the data before I show you the horrendous videos popping up online, because they're truly horrible. I don't know how we find common ground with these people, but before I show you that, I want to show you this new data that came out from the New York Times Siena poll. The question, do you support or oppose deportating immigrants living in the U.S. illegally back to their home countries? Support is at 54%. That is plus 11 over oppose for 43. Now, 43 is ridiculous. I don't know how 43% of Americans can say that's a bad thing. In any case, polling-wise, 54% is pretty decent, actually, on most issues. So this is a big win for Trump. It's a big win just for America. I mean, again, the fact that only 54% would say that worries me, but at least it's still popular. At least it still is the majority of people who agree we can't just keep taking in illegal immigrants. Now, breaking that down by demographic, I think, tells more of the story. There's a massive divide between men and women right now. Men are at 65% support, whereas women are only at 45% support, so a difference of 20% on that. White people and black people are almost perfectly in opposite. White people plus 25 on support, whereas black people are negative 25 on support. Hispanic negative 38%. I don't think anyone's surprised by that. And then other minorities such as Asian, Native American are actually plus 16. So white people and all minorities except Hispanic and black pretty much in agreement on this. Independents support it, which is a win, huge win for the GOP. Somehow 6% of the GOP oppose it, but 92% support it. Democrat, only 19% approve it. And this is where it gets really interesting. They break it down by age. Age isn't as interesting. 18 to 29, as you'd expect, is the age group that doesn't support it. All the other age groups do. But what's really interesting is if you look at someone with a bachelor's degree, it's even. 49% say they support it. 50 say they oppose it. But no bachelor degree, 57% to 38 say they support it. And I think that tells the story. I think that it's people who are being affected in the job market and maybe in housing as well are the ones that are actually moving towards the deportation, saying this is something that needs to happen because they're the ones that are actually affected. The liberals who have bachelor's degrees and live in New England aren't affected in the same way as the rural person that didn't get a bachelor's degree in Arizona, for example, or California. So it's safe to say that not only have the deportations been successful on a policy level, I think they've also been very successful on a political level. Democrats, obviously not happy about this. That's why they're openly calling for violence against ICE officers. For example, here is an absolutely putrid lady saying you should go out and murder ICE officials.
You can just kill ICE agents, you know that? You can just kill them. You don't have to hold your phone in their face and ask people when their birthday is and ask people what their name is and then try to find wherever they end up in Los Angeles. You can kill them. This isn't about social media clout anymore. This isn't about video. This isn't about the phone. This is about get a gun and start killing ICE agents. They are deputized corrections officers. Kill them.
I talked about this on the show last week, but this is why Republicans are saying Democrats are the party of violence right now. If we're being super honest about the numbers, I've looked into the data on this, on hate crime, mass shooting numbers. It's close to a 50-50 split in terms of people on the right versus the left and who's committing these crimes. It's actually 50-50. So it's really not a Democrat or Republican problem. However, the difference is the fact that it is the people, if you look at the right-wing crime that's happening, it's people on the alt-right, the fringe right, some people who have absolutely no control or power in the Republican Party. However, if you look at the left, it is very normal to demonize the ICE agents in this way. It is mainstream to do it. You never see a normal MAGA guy call for all-out violence on Democrats. That's not a mainstream thing. On the other hand, mainstream leftism right now in the Democrat Party is saying that you can do whatever you want to ICE agents. You can do whatever you want to the fascists and the Nazis. That is the language that they are using. And so, sure, ideologically, you could say it's 50-50, but it's happening on the alt-right, which has nothing to do with the Republican Party, and it's happening in the mainstream left, which has everything to do with the Democrat Party. And here's what's crazy about this. This has not always been how it's been. This is a very new phenomenon. A clip from Hillary Clinton has resurfaced from a couple of decades ago. It was in the 90s. She correctly explained how illegal immigration was a huge problem and how we need to stop creating incentives in this country for letting them in, and how officers and ICE agents and deportations are totally great. Take a look.
As to illegal aliens, we agree with you that we do not think the comprehensive health care benefits should be extended to those who are undocumented workers and illegal aliens. We do not want to do anything to encourage more illegal immigration into this country. We know now that too many people come in for medical care as it is. We certainly don't want them having the same benefits that American citizens are entitled to have.
That is Hillary freaking Clinton. 2025 Hillary Clinton would call 1990 Hillary Clinton a Nazi if she were here today. That is very clear. Chuck Schumer was the exact same way. Here's a video of Chuck Schumer saying the same thing back in 1996.
This is an anti-fraud amendment. All over where we go, people say, well, why can't you stop illegal immigrants or others from coming here? And the number one answer we give our constituents is when they come here, they can get jobs, get benefits against the law because of fraud. And here, the gentleman from Florida has put together the most effective anti-fraud measure we can find without it changing the actions of the government one bit. And we find all this opposition. Ladies and gentlemen of this chamber, what I worry about is that this bill, which started out with good intentions, whether you agree with it or disagree with it, is going to end up being the same kind of thing that the public gets angry with us on. We say we're doing something, and we do nothing. Because every time someone makes a rational and small proposal to get something done, people say, well, what about this hypothetical, that hypothetical, etc. I urge support of this amendment. If you believe you want to stop fraud in immigration, you have no choice but to support this amendment.
Only 1996, not very long ago, somehow all of us were able to agree that illegal immigration was bad. And somehow we were even able to agree that deportations were good just 10 years ago under Obama. Obama was the president of the United States 10 years ago. Obama deported 3 million people. One of the very few things that he did that was a good thing. Yet today the Democrat Party has just abandoned that policy because of their new strategy. It's new. A lot of people have been saying this has been happening for a while. If you look at how the Democrat Party is operated, it's actually a fairly new strategy. The Democrat Party has abandoned common sense immigration policy because of their new strategy to legalize illegal immigrants to get more votes, to grant amnesty. That's what DACA is. That's what the Dreamers is. That's what all of this new craziness of them just opening the borders during the Biden administration. Even though the politics of it is important, we don't want Democrats taking power that way. Like that's good enough. The politics are already aside. We don't want Democrats to have it. But the most important thing, the thing that Democrats, I think, are really, frankly, evil in, and again, I'm not talking about Democrat voters, I'm talking about the Democrat elite, is how this affects everyday Americans as well as the non-American lives as well who are coming here illegally. Democrats don't talk about this, but illegal immigration allows all kinds of horrible things to happen to people all the time. You've got children who are trafficked, women sexually assaulted, men are exploited. I was a missionary. I've talked about it on the show before. I was a missionary in rural Washington. I was assigned to speak Spanish and preach to Mexican immigrants. I heard these stories every single day. Horror stories of people coming here illegally, or sometimes even legally, and they were exploited in many ways. People who tried to come to America, you know, obviously because of the greatness of it, and as well as some of the bad incentives that were created by Democrats, they were taken advantage of, trafficked, threatened, forced to help in the trafficking at times, even lost family members trying to come here. And I'm not talking about people dying in the desert because they walked across. I'm talking about exploitation from the cartel that had happened. And again, these are all because of incentives that Democrats have set up. Here is a video that's gone viral of a social worker in Maine pleading with her district to stop incentivizing illegal immigrants to come because of what is happening to them. Take a look.
We've all heard about the Talbot incident. That's one. As just one of 30 social workers in the district, we all have 40 kids that have been deported already. I could talk to you for a year talking about the trauma that I have to hold on to for these kids. Truly, it is no exaggeration. These parents are murdered, that they're coming from other countries, murdered. The students themselves have been murdered. They've been human trafficked. We hear it every single day. It's not just a one-off story. I'm telling you, just in my school alone, it is a consistent story every single day.
Horrible. Horrible. And the Democrat Party is complicit, not the immigrants. They're just following the incentives put in place by politicians already. That's what I've said from the beginning of this. The politicians are to blame. Most Americans understand this, by the way. That's why the polling looks good for anti-immigration, illegal immigration policies. Right now, I showed you the poll earlier, but this is another poll that just came out. The question, which political party do you trust more on the following issues? And you can see, and these issues are, you know, tied together, crime and immigration are the Republican Party's best policies. R plus 14 on crime, R plus 11 on immigration. So as well as national security, I should say as well, R plus 8, which for sure is tied in to illegal immigration. And then you have all, I mean, I think at the bottom, I'll just talk about the other issues. Education, healthcare, certainly important. But abortion, climate change, I guess what I'm trying to say is the Democrat Party has all of the issues that are, less important. What could be more important than crime, inflation, national security? Obviously, education is important. Obviously, healthcare, abortion, sure, they're important to a degree. But the American people understand that at the end of the day, when the rubber meets the road, when you're looking at what's going to protect your family, are you going to be safe? That is what matters the most. The Republican Party is up a lot, and it's because of the immigration policy. Make no mistake. Republicans are delivering on illegal immigration right now. I pray they keep that up and are relentless on the deportations, because we cannot afford to go back and go through this as a country again. We cannot afford to put these people as well in harm's way. From a Christian, right? I think the conservative movement is a Christian movement. I think the Republican Party is a Christian party for the most part. As Christians, we cannot create incentives for this to happen to the illegal immigrants. Are we America first? For sure. I think the top priority of the Republican Party should be creating immigration policy to benefit Americans. That's the first. But I do think the second is looking at what this does to illegal immigrants and understanding that it helps nobody, that it is hurting them, and it is a human rights abuse to create these incentives. That's what Democrats have done. We should not let Democrats do that in order to try to get more voters. The progressive left is a cult. I talk about it in my book, A New Cult. I talk about a lot of stories that you can't talk about on big tech because big tech wants to censor it, but it's there in the book. I know you'll enjoy it. Go check it out. The link is in the description below. The speculation is over, and it really should have been over already, but stupid people like Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson decided they wanted to grift off of Charlie Kirk's death. If you don't know what I'm talking about, Charlie Kirk was very pro-Israel during his life. You can agree with that. You can disagree. It doesn't matter. It's not what we're talking about right now. Following his death, which was just 20 days ago, by the way, not that long, you had commentators like Tucker and Candace starting to create conspiracy theories that Israel had assassinated Charlie Kirk, or that Charlie Kirk had begun to hate Israel and that there had been drama with his donors. All of that is false. And we now have a letter between Charlie Kirk and Bibi Netanyahu that confirms that that is not true. And I'm going to show it again. Whether you have negative thoughts on Israel or not is irrelevant to the truth of how Charlie Kirk felt. And the reason why I think that's important is because when there's a man, I think a good man, who is dead, the worst thing you can do is lie about his legacy and who he was. You can disagree with him. All of us disagree with everyone to a certain degree. But to lie in order to grift off of your audience that likes conspiracy theories, I'm talking about Tucker and Candace Owens here, is evil. Horrible. So buckle up. You're going to want to stick around this and see the whole thing. The letter that I'm about to show you is dated May 2nd. It's long. We're going to go through the whole thing. I'm not going to read the whole thing per se, but we're going to go through every little bit of it because it's very important. It starts, this is from the desk of Charlie Kirk, again, May 2nd, just a few months prior to his assassination. Dear Mr. Prime Minister, this is dated to Bibi Netanyahu, the Prime Minister of Israel. He says, one of the greatest joys as a Christian is advocating for Israel, forming alliances with Jews in the fight to protect Judeo-Christian civilization. Most recently, I am proud to have taken over Ambassador Huckabee's show, where we continually support Israel and the Jewish people. As Mohammedanism spreads into Western societies, it's critical that Jews and Christians stay united in the effort to contain and roll back radical Islam and Sharia law. I regret to report that anti-Israel and anti-Semitic trends are at record levels on social media. These negative sentiments then flow downstream into college campuses and even seep into the conservative MAGA community. Very interesting so far. He's made it very clear. I'm worried about Islam, and I see Israel as an ally to fight Islam in the West, and I'm worried about what's happening on social media. And a lot of people pointed this out, the anti-Semites have pointed out that anti-Semitism is on the rise and anti-Israel sentiment. I think that's true. I think he's right. He continues. My team and I have spent months analyzing these trends, debating ideas that could help you and your country push back against these disturbing developments. Anti-Israel sentiment can undermine American support for Israel. The purpose of this letter is to lay out our concerns and outline potential remedies. Everything written here is from a place of deep love for Israel and the Jewish people. I think it's important to be brutally honest with those you love. In my opinion, Israel is losing the information war and needs a communications intervention. Does that sound like someone who doesn't like Israel? Does that sound like someone who is kind of towards the end of his life, starting to sour on the American-Israeli alliance? I don't think so. I don't think so. And again, we can get all of these like fun little hearsay things from Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson saying things like, oh, this may have happened. Nope, no sources. You just got to believe me. But at the end of the day, this is an actual freaking letter from Charlie Kirk addressed to the Prime Minister of Israel, not just a random dude, but the actual leader of the state of Israel. So I'm sorry if I trust this document more than the random text message Candace Owens supposedly got. We'll continue. He said, I started to compose this letter to you on Easter. I should have been focused on my family, but I was getting bombarded with messages about the Israeli army making it difficult for Christians to access church in Jerusalem on Easter. At the time, I did not see any official statements pushing back on this narrative. It was frustrating because pro-Israel surrogates like me should not, again, openly saying pro-Israel, pro-Israel surrogates like me should not be in charge of fact-checking every piece of anti-Israel misinformation that pours into social media. It wasn't just Easter. On my recent campus tours, half the questions I get are about Israel, and they're all negative. Again, this is information that could be corroborated. This has definitely happened. I've showed clips on the show of Charlie Kirk being bombarded with anti-Israel sentiment. He continued, I often spent half my time on these campus tours defending Jews in Israel, which I'm proud to do because I love Israel and I love the Jewish faith. I spent endless hours with Dennis Prager over the years studying the Torah. Sometimes it feels like I'm defending Israel in public more than your own government. I think that's absolutely true. My experience on college campuses matches a recent Harvard-Harris poll, which reports 48% of 18 to 24-year-old Americans support Hamas over Israel. Even in young MAGA circles, Israel is losing support. We're getting huge crowds of 4,000 to 5,000 students on some of my college tours. My campus visits are becoming like a rock concert atmosphere filled with conservative patriots. Yet on these campus visits, I'm constantly confronted with Israel as an apartheid state. Why does Israel conduct ethnic cleansing, etc.? So this is the part where I'm going to pause for a second, because he starts to get into essentially what his policy prescriptions are for how Israel should defend it. Essentially, he's saying, what are you guys doing? You see what's happening in America. You know that Israel requires American assistance to a certain degree in the Middle East. Again, you can make the argument that that shouldn't be a thing. But from Charlie Kirk's perspective and from Israel's perspective, obviously Israel wants the help from America. And Charlie's saying, look, it's in your best interest to start a PR campaign. Why are you not doing this? And so then he lays out exactly what he thinks he should do. And I think this is very interesting. It really shows as well, props to Charlie. You know, it's sad that he's gone. He's just such a talented person. I think his prescription here for Israel is spot on. And I actually think you've seen Israel start to do this in the last few months. What he says, we'll start, I think there are six that he put in. The first one, he says, for starters, you need a rapid response media team. President Trump does this very effectively on social media with his own account and his White House Rapid Response 47 team. Absolutely true. You need to get information out fast because you want to beat all of the people who are going to put out misinformation. Number two, I strongly recommend putting together a team of pro-Israel experts who can fact-check misinformation in real time from Israel. Same vein as that. There is so much misinformation, even if you don't like Israel, and there's some things out there I can understand that you don't like, but there's so much misinformation out there from Arab states, Muslim states, a lot of leftist groups that just straight up lie. Why Israel wouldn't counter that, I don't understand. Number three, you need something perhaps like an Israel Truth Network, which can include social media channels and a one-stop source of information website where, for example, all the negative Israel questions I get can be thoroughly debunked. Easy. Again, why they don't have this, I don't know. Number four, have you considered inviting some of the released hostages to go on a speaking tour in the U.S.? Fantastic idea. Number five, maybe interview regular Israelis on the streets asking them what they love about their country. Showing that to Americans, I think, is very, very important. Number six, this is the last one, or I suppose there are seven actually. Iran. Israel could do a better job explaining the Iranian threat. Clearly true, because just a couple months after that, they struck Iran and there was a lot of blowback from people in the United States, and not rightfully so. It was a very clean strike. It was fantastic. It's one of the best things Donald Trump has done. It's one of the best things Netanyahu has done. And yet there was so much misinformation and negative PR towards it. They didn't capitalize like they could have. You had conservatives, again, openly coming out in support of a Muslim state, which is, it doesn't make sense, yet they did it. They say they're American first. They're America first. Iran is one of America's top enemies. It didn't make sense. Israel could have, again, done something. They have all the incentives to help out with that PR campaign. They did not. Number seven, a paradigm shift is needed in how Israel presents itself to the world, especially on social media. Perhaps the best way to convey my thoughts here is to think of Israel as a political candidate, which, of course, is Charlie Kirk's bread and butter. It's what he knows best. It's what he was able to offer President Trump and what he was so talented doing. So one thing is abundantly clear. That's essentially the end of the letter. Charlie Kirk sees Islam as a massive threat to the West. I think Charlie Kirk was spot on that. Islam is one of the West's top enemies, and he sees the state of Israel as well as Jews, and rightfully so, as allies to Christians. And so the stage now is set on the conservative movement. I think this has massive implications. The conservative movement is undeniably Christian to a certain degree. That doesn't mean everyone are, you know, they're not all Christians, but the divide that we have is, will we as a Christian movement ally ourselves with Muslims or with Jews? And consequently, which of the other one is going to be our biggest threat and enemy, Jews or Muslims? Charlie Kirk clearly was on the side of Jews as an ally and Muslims as an enemy to the West. So am I. But you have people like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens who have reversed that in their minds. If you disagree, we can have a spirited debate on that. That's fine if you want to take the side of Tucker or Candace Owens. But what nobody can disagree on is what Charlie believed. That's my point today. We can have a spirited debate on who our ally is, but we should all hold Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson accountable for lying about a dead man's legacy in hopes that they can hurt Jews and help Muslims. I don't know how much Tucker was paid by Qatar to do this, and I don't know if Candace Owens is being paid under the table. I would not be surprised at all, but it has cost them all credibility with me and I think millions of other Americans who once watched them. We cannot fall into that trap. We can have a spirited debate. We cannot lie about what Charlie believed. I love being able to interact with you guys. That's why I've created my new Substack. Substack is a weekly newsletter that goes right to your email. It's completely free to you. I'm able to talk about things that I wasn't able to get to on the show, or frankly can't talk about them because big tech censors me from time to time. So go check it out. Again, completely free to you. The link is in the description below. Thank you so much for watching today's episode, everybody. Please like the video so other great patriots like yourselves will see it. And you can tune in every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern for the live show, or you can watch another video right here.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. Kalshi. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.